Welcome back to Midday on WNYC. I'm Jonathan Capehart. You know Richard Jenkins. He's been in more than 80 movies, from Hannah and Her Sisters and Eat, Pray, Love to LBJ, and I'll throw in Burn After Reading, and then countless television projects like 6 Feet Under and more recently, Olive Kitteridge, for which he won an Emmy. Now it's his role in Guillermo del Toro's wondrous film, The Shape of Water, that's drawing accolades. I'm just glad it gives me the chance to talk with the talented actor. Right now, he is sitting here looking at me very seriously. Richard Jenkins, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan.
So are you surprised by the movies and roles you're in that area, the ones that draw attention?
You're always surprised. Every time something turns out well, it's a surprise because they don't happen very often.
They don't,
no,
really.
No.
I mean, it's like once in a lifetime.
No, it happens. I'm old, so it's happened a few times, but it's not common. And that's kind of the beauty of it, because they are special when they do happen.
All right, let's talk about the Shape of Water. And it's such a mysterious movie, and it's meant to be. Mm-hmm. So how would you even describe it to someone who hadn't seen it?
It's really hard to describe. You can say it's a romance, it's a love story, it's a heist movie, it's a creature movie, it's a genre film. I don't know how to describe it. And the reason I like doing interviews is I like to see you guys try to describe it because it's tough.
Is it unlike any movie you've done?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes, it is. But when I read it, it made perfect sense to me. I didn't read it and go, huh? It just made sense to me, the way he constructed the whole thing. But it is totally different than any film I've ever done.
So what then drew you to the part of Giles?
Oh, I love the writing. I love the fact that a supporting character, had his own life, his own dreams, his own problems. And it's because of those things that he sees his true friend, which is the Sally Hawkins character, Eliza. And I love, sometimes supporting characters are just there to kind of move the plot along, or be the next door neighbor,
right.
that you see every 10 minutes he pops in to borrow a cup of sugar or something. This guy had a life, and I loved it.
So it's interesting that when I asked you what drew you to the part, you didn't say, oh, I like the character or I like this personality. You said, I loved the writing. How important is the writing for you in terms of really being able to see whether that character is someone for you?
It's always the writing. It's the care, you read so many scripts, and some, you after two pages, you go, no, this is, I know where this is going. I know this character. But Guillermo, like, some of the other great scripts that I've done, you just are drawn to the writing and the way it's constructed. They're real human beings. I guess that's really what it is. They're really people.
So last week I interviewed Donald Sutherland, and he talks about how the characters, like, they speak to him. Yeah, it's not that he's looking to see if he can play them. Right. They play him. It sounds similar.
It is. It's all on the page. Everything, every clue you have comes from the text. And that all that stuff goes to you. Mm-hmm. And so, that's where you look for everything that you do in the movie. They said, where did this idea comes from? I've had writers say to me, where did you get that idea? I said, well, you wrote it.
They've forgotten what they've written.
Or it's the way they've written something that gives you an idea. So Donald Sutherland is that's exactly right.
Well, so we only learn who Giles is only gradually. How did you approach that? Create the backstory for him. Who is he?
He's a guy who's an artist. I can create a backstory by the script, what I learned from the script. He's an artist who is losing favor because photographs, he draws for an ad agency, and photographs are now becoming popular, so he's losing out, and he has to draw. He's competing to get back into the ad agency to get this client. But he's been out of work for a while. He has not much money. He lives next door to this woman. Sally Hawkins plays Eliza. She's mute, works in a government. Now, I'm telling you this story. You got me to do this.
Keep going. You're anticipating my next question, because it is important. We're not giving anything away.
But she works at this government installation, and they're best friends, and she's mute. And you know they're best friends because he can read sign language. So they've been friends for a long, long time. And he loves musicals. He doesn't want to think about serious things. And he teaches her about film and musicals, and he thinks he's her mentor. But we come to find out it's really the other way around. And he takes her to a pie shop where he's a closeted gay man. It takes place in 1962.
Different world.
Different world. And as I say, I was in high school then, and we had no gay people in our high school until our 30th reunion. You know, that's the way
right.
the world was.
Right.
You know? And he has this crush on the manager of the pie shop. And she knows, she doesn't say anything to him, but she knows this is not something that's going to work out. But anyway, he goes through a real transition in the movie.
You're listening to Richard Jenkins, who stars as Giles in Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water. You mentioned how Sally Hawkins is your very good friend. She's mute. How complicated was it that Giles communicates with Sally's character, who can only use sign language? Did you have to learn sign language?
No, I learned what she said to me. We because she wanted to practice her signing, and I wanted to make sure I didn't get ahead of her or behind her. If you'll notice in the scene where she really makes me say what she's signing, because she wants to say, she says, I want to make sure you totally understand what I'm saying to you. It's that important to her. I misunderstand what she's signing, and she goes back and makes me do it again. Just once, it was a mistake in the shot, and it works. It's really fun. It's really nice.
And it's a very climactic scene. Were you nervous about that? How did you prepare for that?
Well, we rehearsed it for 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah, we rehearsed it and we did it. It was nothing like we rehearsed. It had no similarity to what we rehearsed, which was fabulous.
Why was that?
Well,
just being in the moment.
When you put the camera in the room, everything changes. And that's why rehearsal is kind of sometimes can be an odd thing for him. You get something in your head, oh, we rehearsed it this way, that's the way we'll do it. You put a camera in the room and everything changes. So you really have to let all that go. And I looked at my watch when she was talking to me because I was late for my appointment. And she hit me. And I just said, you hit me. Which was all new. It had not happened mm-hmm. before. But that's what happens when you trust each other. And I love her. I adore her. I felt totally comfortable with her. I think she felt the same with me. So you can do things like that. You can really kind of, well, as we like to say, live your life on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you it is an important scene, huge scene.
Well, you know, interesting about this notion of rehearsal, it was one way, and then when the camera is in the room, it goes a completely, completely different way, which made me wonder, do you even like rehearsal?
No, I don't. It depends on how it's used. We rehearsed for 3 weeks in this, and it was used pretty well. Guillermo used the time for us to get to know each other. When I did The Visitor with Tom McCarthy, he did the same thing, 3 weeks. And we talked and we read. We didn't make decisions, just read, talked, had lunch together, had dinners together, had breakfast together. I mean, we got to know each other, became friends. And so sometimes when you shoot a movie, you wish you could go back and shoot the first week all over again because you're just getting to know people, directors and actors. And so Guillermo and Tom both took care of that problem. So when we were ready to shoot, we were ready to go. But I don't like rehearsals because I don't think they have nothing to do with what really happens.
And since you mentioned The Visitor, we should also tell people in that role, you were nominated for the Oscar.
See how I bring that up?
I'm honored, Richard. So you've mentioned, so we've been talking about your character, Giles. We've been talking about his very good friend, Sally. Eliza, played by Sally Hawkins. Yeah. Then there's a third person in your trio, played by Octavia Spencer and Zelda. How do they all fit together?
Well, they're the invisible people of 1962, and they're the ones that nobody pays attention to, who do the most extraordinary thing in the movie, and they're true friends. And you know, it's a conscious choice by Guillermo del Toro to pick these three people and put them in this time, a time of judgment. And well, if you were a gay man, you were in the closet. If you were an African American, you were invisible. If you were had a disability, you were invisible. What brings them together is truth. Is Sally Hawkins, is Eliza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, not I don't want to, because I have a tendency to like give away plots and, mm-hmm. and give away the movie. So I'm not gonna do that.
I die in the no.
How did you find your way to acting before we came on air? I asked, do you live in the city or you're in LA? You said no, I'm in Providence.
Yeah.
How did you? Who are you? Where did you come from, Richard?
I came from DeKalb, Illinois, which is a farm town 60 miles west of Chicago. A fabulous place to grow up, wonderful place. I'm an only child.
Oh, me too.
I never saw a play until I was like 12 or something. My parents took me to see Bye Bye Birdie in Chicago. I saw all those kids on stage and it was like, I've just told this story. Christmas shopping. My mother had a present under the seat, and we left after the play, and she forgot the present. So I went back into the theater, and they were having an understudy rehearsal, which I assumed it was. I didn't know at the time what it was. So all these kids were on stage laughing and joking, and I was like, I just stood there. It was incredible.
I knew
before. I used to go to the movies every weekend, and I just said, how do you do that? That's what I want. I've known. I can't think of a time where I didn't know I wanted to be an actor.
I got to ask you this. You've said that you always like to play the parts that people don't know what to do with.
I like those kinds of parts that you're not quite sure who they are. Yeah.
Is it something about you, or are those the roles that speak to you?
Have you been typecast
as the next door neighbor?
I've been really fortunate. I mean, you can't play everything.
Right.
Yeah. But I really like I like characters that the answers aren't there yet. You have to kind of figure it out on your own.
And what about your character, another favorite of mine? I know I said Burn After Reading, but also 6 Feet Under, which was a big breakthrough for you. You weren't a character no one knew what to do with. You were integral to that series.
Yeah, but I never knew who the guy was, because I was never me. I was always somebody's idea of who I was, depending on who was talking to me. Mm-hmm. Whether it was my children, my daughter, my two sons, my wife, whoever was thinking about me, I was their version of me. So I never knew who this guy was, which was really fascinating.
Well, that means you could be several different types
Absolutely.
Of people.
I was.
Depending from one week after another. Right. After how many years was it?
Five.
5 years. Yeah. Such a great series.
It was. Yeah.
So back to your this wondrous movie that you're in, The Shape of Water. Did you have any sense of what the film would look like?
No. And I was told over and over again. And I saw on the monitor what it was looking like. I didn't know until I saw, I actually watched it in an editing room the first time, and I got lost in it. I mean, it was just extraordinary. I'd never seen anything like it. And then we saw it in Venice, the Venice Film Festival.
Oh, that's a fabulous place to see it.
And this huge
big screen.
And never seen it with an audience. Nobody had ever, first time for an audience. And they applauded for 10 minutes. And I always thought, nobody applauds for 10 minutes. They always say, I went to the opera and they applauded for 10 minutes. You can't. Your hands hurt. You can't applaud for 10 minutes. I was one of them. it was incredible. Guillermo was thrilled.
What was it like working with him?
It was singular. You know, there's nobody like him. He's incredibly, he's a genius, I think, and I don't say that lightly. I think he is. He's hilarious. He knows more about film than anybody I've ever met, which is not saying a lot, but I mean, he just knows film. He knows mm-hmm. the history of film. He knows the history. He knows more about art. He's Mike Nichols. Mike Nichols never repeated himself. I mean, I didn't know him. I did two movies with him, but I never heard him repeat himself. Guillermo's the same way. He's got a vast mind. You should have him on. You would love him.
Mike Nichols?
No,
Guillermo del Toro. He's been on. I wasn't here, but he was here to talk about this movie. You've also worked with Woody Allen and the Coen brothers and Clint Eastwood. Yeah. You've worked with some greats.
I have. I've been very fortunate. My gosh.
Did any of them, last question, I swear, did any of them ever ask you or tell you to do something in terms of acting that you resisted, but you did it, and then once you saw it on film, you thought, damn, that was good. I'm glad I did it that way.
No. Well, I'm sure our egos hate to let us think that, but yes, Jonathan, yes, it's happened, yes.
I don't believe a word you just said. I believe your first answer.
Okay. I'm not sure. I can't think of anything. No. But I mean, I don't have all the answers. I don't have the answers.
Right. Well, I've been speaking with Richard Jenkins, who stars in Guillermo del Toro's film, The Shape of Water. The film will be in theaters in New York through tomorrow. Richard Jenkins, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.